does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
Jake, quite the weekend for the Boilers. They're traveling back right now to West Lafayette from their win of the Phil Knight Legacy Classic. That is double-digit wins over West Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke. They closed that Duke game. I don't think Duke scored in the final, like, 6 or 7 minutes of that game. And then the day prior, I guess we got to go back to Friday, Nebraska holds on to beat Iowa. And that allows Purdue to face a win and go to the Big Ten title game with Indiana. They're down at half. Devin Mockabee, Charlie Jones, Aiden O'Connell and company outstanding in the second half. The Dexter Williams injury, which you just hated to see for Indiana, certainly played a role. But Purdue wins that one, kind of going away in the fourth quarter. Quite a weekend for Purdue fans.
And Bob Kravitz was covering it all weekend long with The Athletic. Do we have Bob, by the way, Mark? Okay, Bob's going to join us in a couple of minutes. And, you know, I talked to Bob yesterday, and we were talking primarily about the Bucket game. And then as I was talking to him, he's like, hey, man, they just went on an 11-0 run against Duke. I'm like, holy cow. Like, it was a really good weekend, unquestionably. A really good weekend for them athletically. And Kevin, you made an interesting point. I mean, Michigan's going to be the heavy favorite. I don't know what the early line is in that game, but
15.5, you say, Mark?
You know, I've always said, why not Indiana? How about why not Purdue, right? Why not Purdue?
Just, you know, apply some game pressure. I mean, it's not like Michigan fans are going to be paying out the wazoo to come down to Indianapolis for that game, but I'd assume that will be a heavy Purdue contingent inside of Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah.
If you're an Ohio State fan and you had tickets to that game, you're going to sell them to the old Boiler faithful before you sell them.
And there are a lot of Ohio State fans that I'm last year when Michigan played, was it Iowa they played?
Yeah.
Big Ten title game?
Smoked them.
Like an hour before the game was to kick off, a buddy of mine who's an Ohio State fan's like, you want to go to the Big Ten championship game? And I'm like, what? Well, I got a suite. I bought a suite like 6 weeks ago, and I've got to like fill it up with 10 people. You know, you want to go? And I couldn't go, but you know, it'll be a lot of fun this weekend. I mean, whether you're an Indiana fan, Ohio State fan, whatever it is, come downtown and enjoy it and go to the bars and enjoy the crowds and just have fun with it. It's festive. It's great.
Andrew goes, as a Purdue fan, I don't ever want to hear about how they never get local radio airtime. Love the coverage today. Boiler up.
Yeah, I mean, Here's the thing. Somebody sends a thing calling us out that we've never talked about Purdue before, and I'm like, well, that's clearly somebody that's not listening. I'm wearing a Purdue hat today, for crying out loud.
And again, credit to Purdue for, you know, not forcing us, but providing such an opportunity to talk about them.
Last night we were talking about it because, the three of us obviously have texts where we talk about and plan out what the show's going to be, and the Colts are playing tonight.
Yes, Monday Night Football. The Pacers are playing the Lakers tonight.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very rare, I think, just to have a college storyline, you know, supersede what's happening professionally when the Colts and the Pacers are in the midst of their own season. Like you said, Monday Night Football, Jake, Pacers-Lakers tonight. But that is what Purdue did this weekend. And to talk more about that, Bob Kravitz joins us right now from the Payless Liquors Hotline. Bob, if you don't mind, just a little bit of a peek behind the curtain with you at the Bucket game. We played the clip from you and Jeff Brohm a little bit earlier in that post-game press conference. When did you find out about the Aiden O'Connell news and just how that entire storyline played out for you?
Yeah, I noticed that Aiden was very emotional on the sideline. And I went to the game, and I went downstairs. And as I was walking, I walked by their team chaplain, Marty Dittmar. And I said, what was that all about? And he said, well, I'll let Aiden, share that. But he said, it's an unbelievable story. It's unbelievable that he played on Saturday. And then, of course, I asked Jeff Brohm about it, and he got very emotional. So I knew that there was a family tragedy involved. I found out later, as I was writing what exactly happened, that he lost his older brother, I believe it was. I decided not to write it because it was my understanding that Aiden was going to put out a statement the very next day. And that's just one of those where you make kind of a professional decision. You know, it's not like Andrew Luck retiring and you got to get it out there. I just felt that I should let him make that announcement. And so I kept it under my hat and just kind of let it go from there.
Bob, as somebody who was there, was it, I mean, you had mentioned that, you know, you kind of had an inkling, but could you kind of feel in the atmosphere of the postgame with Purdue and what should have been obviously this overwhelming celebration, you know, how noticeable was kind of that, you know, this obviously tragic cloud that was hanging there?
Well, I mean, the players, you know, we actually got kind of lost walking downstairs. They changed where the visitors do their press conference, at least since I've been there last, which has been a long time. And, you know, the players were like, you know, kids at Christmas morning diving into their hats and shirts. It really wasn't until I touched base with the chaplain and then conversed, asked the question of Brahm, and he got very, very emotional. So, you know, and he made it clear that there was a family situation that he didn't want to talk about. So, you know, I guess I could have done something different with it, but I felt uncomfortable knowing that he was going to make an announcement. I didn't want to step on that.
Yeah, I thought you handled it beautifully. Bob Kravitz with us here from The Athletic on the Payless Liquors hotline. The other big Purdue news from this past weekend is what they did out in Portland on the basketball floor. A pretty dominant, beating West Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke. You look at this December slate, I mean, there's a good chance they honestly will start January undefeated. But if you kind of had to sum up why you think Matt Painter has been able to sustain a high level, I mean, routine, top of the Big Ten, top five seed in the tournament amidst, you know, just the inevitable roster turnover you have, how would you kind of summarize that?
He gets guys who fit. You know, if you go back a couple of years, and I remember talking to Matt about this, you go back a couple of years when they were really struggling for about 2-3 years there, he was going for the big talents with the 4 stars and the 5 stars, and it didn't work out. They were terrible, and a lot of players left the program because they couldn't handle, you know, Matt. Matt's not an easy guy to play for, and that's what makes him great. I think he's gotten back to getting guys who fit the Purdue culture, who want to be there for a long time, who play selfless basketball. Now, you know, I love what Purdue is doing, but correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they show out early last year in all these tournaments, and then they failed to win the Big Ten regular season, they failed to win the Big Ten tournament, and they got knocked out by St. Peter's in the NCAA tournament. So I would say give it some time. I mean, they're a wonderful team to watch, and they just annihilated Duke and Gonzaga. I thought they just outclassed them in every conceivable manner. But we've seen this. Am I right about last year?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, you know, they beat Nova in Carolina.
I got a text here that says, what we have to remember is that last year, Purdue played like this against North Carolina and Villanova, but we did not play well in the tournament.
Yep. But again, no one thought they would do what they did in Portland. People thought they would do what they did last year in November.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith. I mean, Braden Smith is so much fun to watch. I mean, and he's another guy that, you know, I don't know that he had a lot of offers, you know, but you look at Zach Edey. Zach Edey was ranked like number 500 in the country as far as you know, incoming freshmen. And look at him now. I mean, he's a stud. So I think Painter and his staff have a good sense of what kind of player, both physically and personally, will fit in that program, and he's got it working beautifully now.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Bob, the reality is when it comes to going back to the bucket game, by the way, you know, there are two local teams that are in that game, so might as well do a buy one, get one here in terms of the coverage or the analysis of it from the Indiana side. Look, I'll be blunt. I'll be blunt because I've said it on this show before. Tom Allen ain't it, in my opinion, for Indiana, and I think he's a wonderful guy. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a really nice guy. I think he's probably a really good influence on young people, but in terms of coaching a football team, the Big Ten Network showed before the game Tom Allen addressing the Indiana football team. And I'm not in the locker room, don't get me wrong, but I'm watching it. And I'm watching him parade up and down, and I'm looking at the body language of the players, and it looked to me like a bunch of players that were like, oh my gosh, dude, just wrap it up. And,
yeah.
And they just – there were – I actually saw an eye roll. I mean, they panned the camera, and you can see one player rolling his eyes. A, has Tom Allen lost the team, and B – is it time for Indiana to move on?
The problem is $20 million, right? The buyout is $20 million, but you know, I did not think that they would buy out Archie, especially toward the end of a pandemic.
Different sport and different priority of the university, though, right?
Right. I understand that, but that's another reason, because it's such a high priority. Basketball is. Somebody stepped up. I don't think Tom Allen is out. I think Tom Allen will get another year. You know, I thought he hurt himself. I don't know if you guys heard it during his radio show. He went on for about 10 minutes straight. It was just a filibuster about how the NIL is killing Indiana.
Well, here's what I said, Bob. What I said about that, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you tell me if you agree with this. My thought was, because Tom Allen's talking about how Indiana doesn't have the funds or the commitment for NIL that like an Ohio State does and whatever else. And I'm thinking to myself, buddy, you better be careful what you wish for, because if Indiana was willing to raise and capable of raising tens of millions of dollars, it ain't going to NIL. It's going to buy you out.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right. Now, look, I mean, how has Purdue done it? I mean, I do not know the answer to this, but does Purdue – which has gone won eight games two years in a row for the first time since 97-98. Are they doing that much better in the NIL funds than Indiana? And I asked that question not knowing the answer.
Yeah,
but they're winning.
Yeah, and again, NIL is still new. I mean, Purdue established, right. And obviously Aiden O'Connell wouldn't even be sniffed from an NIL standpoint, right, when he came out of high school. And what they've done with the transfer portal, I think, helps. But, I mean, certainly Jeff Brohm is a better head coach than Tom Allen. So I think – was Tom Allen right with, you know, a large chunk of what he said NIL-wise? Yes. But also, you've got to get your program to a level of at least acceptable ground before – you even then entertain the thought of, okay, the next level NIL-wise takes you from, you know, 5-win Big Ten team to 7 or 8-win Big Ten team. I think the COVID year was Tom Allen was the perfect guy for a year when players were looking for anything to get out of their dorm rooms and go play football. And I just don't think he has that luxury that he had back then.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a tough call. I mean, again, the buyout is – you know, I guess it's doable. I mean, somebody's got a check somewhere. I would agree with you. I mean, this is 2 years in a row where he said, you know, let's find out what we're really about. We found out what they're really about. They're a 4-5 win team, and it's kind of a mess. I do not know what Dolson does in this situation.
Yeah, again, I just don't think you got enough boosters that care about IU football to that level. Bob Kravitz, again, he is with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Bob, looking ahead to tonight, Colts and Steelers. We're now, what, almost a month, I guess a little bit less than a month into the Jeff Saturday era. Do you think he's more of a legit permanent head coaching candidate now than maybe you thought 3 or 4 Mondays ago?
Oh, probably, just because they played really well against the Raiders, and they played well enough to almost beat the Eagles, who are clearly the best team in the league. So, I think he's more of a candidate now. Let's see how it goes. You know, I mean, they got an easy game. They're playing an equally bad team tonight. But then they've got, I don't have it in order, but they got at Minnesota, at the Giants, at the Vikings, the
Chargers. At Dallas.
Dallas. So, I mean, it's going to be a real tough road to hoe for them coming down the stretch. I'll throw a name out there coming in this week with Michigan, Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, which leads me to this, Bob.
Is that an Ursay? Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Interject there. Is that a Jim Ursay? Always been fond of Jim Harbaugh from that sense.
That's my understanding, is that he's always been a big Jim Harbaugh fan. But you know, we haven't had that discussion in recent times. You know, once the season is over, I'll start doing that reporting. But I'm just looking at guys who might be, you got to know that Jim Ursay wants to make a big splash, and you know that doesn't mean a guy who's an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator that nobody's ever heard of. I think he wants to make a splash, especially after the way he screwed up this whole situation this year. And, I wonder about Jim Harbaugh, who's in the Ring of Honor, who has made it clear that he wants back with in the NFL. So, I don't know. I'm just throwing a name out there. I'm not saying he's a candidate, but he's somebody I would certainly think about.
So, Bob, let's go with a hypothetical here. It's 1 year from now. The Colts are getting ready to play on Monday Night Football. You are on our show, assuming that we're still doing a show, and I ask you about it, and you say, you know, I talked to Jim Harbaugh about that yesterday, and he was talking about how he was really happy with the way their quarterback is playing, and in fact, he just had a discussion with the general manager about how long they can lock that quarterback in. The quarterback and the general manager that you're talking about in that scenario 1 year from today is who? Or are who?
I think probably Jeff Saturday moves upstairs.
Okay.
I think Jeff Saturday moves upstairs. I think Chris Ballard has been emasculated by what's happened this year. Jim Ursay, you know, I mean, look, everybody, I think a lot of people really have warm feelings for Jim Ursay. He's done so many great things, but I think he has messed up this season in so many ways. I think Saturday will probably end up in the GM role. Who will be the coach? I don't know. Maybe Harbaugh, maybe somebody else, maybe Bieniemy, if he can finally get you know, break through the glass ceiling. I'm not really sure, but I don't think that Chris Ballard will be here next year.
Do you believe that Chris Ballard would be relieved of his duties, or do you believe that Chris Ballard would hand in his walking papers?
Well, I would think that they would fire, you know, if you want to get paid, don't you, generally speaking, have to get fired? I mean,
yes.
If you just walk away, you just walk away. I mean, I've tried that, and it doesn't work. They don't pay you anymore. I think they'll reach a gentleman's agreement and move from there. I mean, you look at Ballard and the way he acted at the Jeff Saturday press conference. And then, and Jake, you and I spoke about this the other day, one of our late night radio calls.
That's right.
Radio talks, our radio phone conversations. And, you know, after the game, after the Raiders game, Jim Ursay is like, everybody in here for a picture. Chris, you come here too. And he didn't want anything to do with this mess. So I would have a hard time believing that he's going to be the GM next year.
It's like the boyfriend at the family Christmas of like, do we want him in the actual picture? Is he still going to be around?
Put him
here
on the edge so we can crop him out.
Yeah, moving forward. Bob, a normal like sports calendar, tonight's Pacers-Lakers game would be a huge, huge storyline, but it gets lost in the shuffle with everything that's transpired in the last 72 hours or so. Any vibes change at all for you, Miles Turner extension-related here in Indiana? We saw over the weekend, I believe Mark Stein had this, Miles Turner's changed agencies. He's moved to CAA, kind of one of the mega agencies out there. Usually when I see that, I think that's a man that wants to go get the bag, as the young kids say, in free agency. Anything change for you on that front based off how the season's gone so far?
Nothing at all. And if anything, that confirms that, I've been saying that he wants to move on. What I do not know is whether the Pacers are interested in extending him. I think for the right price, they would be. He's been playing tremendous basketball now that he's freed up to play the five full time. But I still think I think Miles wants a bigger market. I think he would love to go back to Dallas. And I don't blame him. I mean, look, this team, they're playing well, but they're probably not going to be a contender for a long time. He wants to go someplace where they're going to contend. And I think he likes the big city. You know, he likes having people around and reporters, and he's into all that stuff. So, I don't blame him. Go get your money. And who doesn't want to become a free agent? I want to become a free agent. I haven't been a free agent in a long time. I miss it.
Well, trust me. I just got off a long free agency, and it's not all cracked out to me all the time.
Yeah, been there, done that, Bob. But no, Miles never been a free agent in his, eight years in the NBA. So you think that's got to be enticing to him. Bob, I thought you handled Saturday really, really well. I respect that big time from that storyline and everything that transpired there. And get a nap in today, because I know it'll be a late night.
That it will.